Welcome to Crossroads. My name is Maureen. And if you're checking out our church for the first time, we're thrilled to have you with us. We would love to answer any questions you have, hear about your experience, and share more about the great ministries we offer here. At any point today, fill out one of the connection cards in the seat backs and drop it off in the offering boxes around the room on your way out.
Well, we've got some pretty exciting things coming up here at Crossroads. This month, we're preparing for the Halloween season. On the way in today, you received a flyer inviting you to be a part of something sweet and savory this season. We're teaming up with our food pantry to stock our shelves for the upcoming holiday season. Our food pantry feeds our community every week on Tuesday and Thursdays right here on our campus. Starting this week, bring in non-perishable items to stock our food pantry and feed the city of Corona.
Then on Friday, October 28th, comedian Nazareth will be hosting a night of comedy called Sweet Laughter.
Hello, this is comedian Nazareth. I want to personally invite you to the fourth annual Sweet Laughter Comedy Outreach at Crossroad Church. This one is, we're taking it up a notch this year. I spared no expense and invited my best comedic friends. Taylor Tomlinson from Fox Laughs is going to be there. Mark Christopher Lawrence from NBC's Chuck, a special guest from Cheers. And I'll be doing comedy and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Just bring a bag of candy. Candy's great. I grew up in Kuwait. It was 140 degrees in the summer. We didn't get to eat chocolate and candy. It was melted. We drank it. So I'll see you there.
And if you haven't been a part of Trunk and Treat before, you'll love getting to celebrate with thousands of people in our community in a safe environment. Bring your kids and join us in costume for Trunk and Treat on October 31st from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Because we see nearly 10,000 people on our campus for TNT, we need your help. We'd love to have you join us in unity and host a trunk with your family or your life group. Details are on the flyer you received on the way in today. Sign up online at crossroadschurch.com or fill out your information on the flyer and drop it off at the Welcome Center following the services or in the offering boxes around the room.
Well, thanks again for joining us today. If you have any questions, come see us at our Welcome Center following the service or visit our website at crossroadschurch.com. But right now, please welcome our senior pastor, Chuck Guer.
All right. Hey, and welcome, welcome, welcome. And for anybody who's visiting today, I'm so glad you're with us. I think it's going to be something awesome for you to hear a really focused message on what Jesus would want for you and everyone else. If you're a part of the Crossroads family, I'm loving this journey we're on. And so get ready. We're going to take a next step. But we also have an online campus that I really, really love. And Julius and Ariel, get this, they're watching right now in Italy. Praise God you guys are on. And that is so awesome. So really, really fun. Casey Simmons, a Christian man who had one main goal in life. His main goal is this. He wants to bless everybody. He wants to make everybody's life better because they've been around him. He just lives for that. And so what happened, he was on his way work to Applebee's, which was right across the street from a grocery store he was going to pick some stuff up in. And he went inside and he saw a woman in the line next to him. And she was an elderly woman and she just looked so sad. So he switched lines and went over next to her and he said, "Hey, are you okay?" He said, "Someone as beautiful as you shouldn't be sad." Well, she looked up at him and he said, "Are you all right?" And she didn't really want to talk about what was bothering her. And then he said, "Well, can I pay for your groceries?" She goes, "No, you don't need to do that." He said, "But I want to pay for your groceries." And so she let him and he cost $17 and he paid. And he just told her again, "You are so beautiful. I hope you smile a lot." And she did. She was beaming. Well, he went on to work at Applebee's and he's working away and trying to really do his best for every single person who ends up at a table in his section. And a woman comes in, another woman comes in and she sits down and he goes up to wait on her. And she said, "Hey, I know this is unusual, but all I want is a glass of water with some lime in it." And he goes, "You know what? I got to tell you, I am so sorry, but I have to charge you 37 cents for the lime." And she goes, "That's okay, because I'm sorry I'm taking up your table and not really ordering." And he goes, no, that's fine. I just, you know, have a good time, relax." But he just apologized over and over, 37 cents for lime. Well, he ended up taking really great care of her, trying to make her day. And then he gave her the receipt to pay for the 37 cents of lime. And he went to pick up the receipt when it came back. And here's what it looked like. She left him a $500 tip. and she left a note. You see, the note let him know that the woman he cared for in the grocery store was her mom. And it was her mom's saddest day of the year because it was the third anniversary of her husband's death. And she was so sad and so despondent, and she went in the grocery store and he made her day. She left this a note. She said, "On the most depressing day of the year, you made my Mother's Day wonderful. You insisted on paying. You told her she was a very beautiful woman. I've not seen this woman smile this much since Dad died." Isn't that incredible? That story, yeah. That story made CNN. It made national news with the headline of this: "An act of kindness is priceless." Now, I want to tell you, an act of kindness is priceless. You and I can do that. And an act of kindness is big news. It makes the news. And I want you to think about this. That's what Jesus calls for you and I to do: to go out and love on people, to go out and care for people, to go out and be his hands, his eyes to see, his mouth to speak into people's lives in ways that have deep meaning. You and I are meant for that. And I think deep down you already know that's what the church is all about. We're the church. We're the body of Christ meant to go make a difference in a world. And by the way, when any of us does that, it makes a difference. Let me give you an example of that. We're going to take the lights down now, so be careful how you move around. But right now, I want you to think about, if I were to go out into the world and I do an act of love, an act of kindness, you know what? It makes a difference. Jesus said, "So let your light shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven." And even in a building this big, you can see this light, can't you? But all of you have cell phones, take out your cell phones. Now let's turn them on together. See, if I do that, it makes a difference. If we do that, if we all do that, look around the building right now. Look at all the light. Isn't that incredible looking? Would you all agree that's pretty cool looking right now? I know there are some of you, you're taking pictures of it and you're not joining in the light, but no, isn't it awesome looking? See, when we do this together, it's more incredible. It's more beautiful. It's more amazing. And then when you and I work together in unity, see, we're in a series on how can we be united? How can we prepare for revival? When we do this in unity, then God unleashes the Holy Spirit. His power comes and he takes it up a notch, something like this. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's like that. Yeah, isn't that incredible? Yeah. And we're in partnership with God, making a huge difference in a dark world that needs love. And you and I need to do that. Let's commit to being those kind of people. Because you're ready for this? You call those kind of people Christians. That's what Christians do. Father, may we really live this out. Let's clap together for God. Yeah. Yeah. Father, when we live this way and love this way, we're going to make a difference for you. Jesus, you're going to be lifted up, and we're going to love life. And God, in the midst of it all, we'll know that we were used by you, empowered by you to make a difference. May we do that individually, even more. May we do it together. Jesus, in your holy name, amen. Amen. Yeah. See, when we're talking right now about us being a community with unity, but a community passionately living God's extraordinary plan for life. What we're talking about also, get ready for this, is you living the life God means for you to live. You're actually embracing the destiny God has for you. See, the Bible teaches something very interesting, that you were made on purpose by God with a purpose for a purpose. See, all of you who your parents told you you're an accident, that wasn't true. God actually made you. God designed you, and God has a plan for your life, and it's your destiny. Now, what you need to understand biblically is we all have a destiny. Are you ready for this? But you have a choice whether you are in it or not. See, it's not a destiny you are thrown into and have no option to be in or not. You can choose in. You can choose to live it. You could choose to be a part. And while all of us have very unique parts of our destiny, a unique plan for our life, we all share in something in common. And it's in Romans 8:28 where there's this incredible promise. It says, "We know that God causes all things to work to good." Now grab that. God causes all things to work together for good, but only to certain people. to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. That's people who've embraced their destiny. You're living your life according to the purpose he has for you because you love him and you've embraced his love for you. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, and so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, God did this. God predestined you and I with very unique things that are only true for you, and only certain things are true for me. But an overarching destiny for everybody is that we are in the image of Christ. The Bible calls that being Christ-like, that we live like Christ, we follow Christ. When we talk about this idea of us being a community that really does live in unity and passionately lives God's extraordinary plan for life. And don't miss this. If you're brand new, God has an extraordinary plan for your life that you could choose in or choose out of. But when we look at that, do you know what God is saying to you? That means you got to live like Jesus. So if that were true of our church, we would all be 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, imitators of Christ. We would all do that together. We would all say, what would Jesus do? And then we would do it. See, that's the whole idea of what the Bible calls discipleship. Being a disciple. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our master. And we say we want to be like him. That's what disciples do. That's how they act. And so I want to give you the three aspects of discipleship, or the three aspects of being a 24/7 imitator of Christ. How I actually do that. How I actually live this life where I'm conformed to his image. How I fulfill my destiny. But it's like three parts of a three-legged stool. Now, if I had a stool up here and it had three legs, you could sit on that and it would support you. If you sit on these three truths, your life will be lifted up. Now, here's the thing. If one of those legs is missing, what would happen? Yeah, I actually one time was going to get out, come out on stage and sit on a stool in front of 1,000 people or more, and one of the legs was broken. And I didn't know it. No one else knew it. And I sat on that stool and it went, bam, I land. Do you know what it's like to fall on the ground in front of 1,000 people? Yeah, you do. Good. Okay. And so here's the thing. You don't want to be missing one of these three things. So I'm going to ask you to take notes on it. And I want to give you the first one. The first one is this. We will be living a life as a 24/7 imitator of Christ when I do anything Jesus tells me to do. When I do anything Jesus tells me to do. Now that's what being a disciple is all about, that I do whatever he tells me to do. And in Matthew chapter 10, notice Jesus begins with these words. He's defining discipleship. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. Now grab that. A disciple is not above. We're not above God. We're not above Jesus. He's above us. Now, if you have your notes, write this L word down, because this is super important. It's the word lordship. Lordship. Jesus is Lord. Now that means he's the maximum authority in my life, and I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. I saw a really cool thing on Instagram. It was this cute little boy standing with the phone looking out this glass door, and he's calling his grandfather, and he says, Papa, can I come to your house where I'm the boss? Do you know what is? I got the cutest grandchildren ever. I love them to death. And my granddaughter Tatum, oh, she's so precious. But she right now is actually 3, but she's still in the terrible twos. Now, you know what happens when you're in the terrible twos? You think you're the boss. And she thinks she can tell Papa what to do. And there's times she walks in demanding that I do what she says. And you know what? As cute as she is, I'm not going to do that. Now, would all of you agree that's not a good idea? And so she walks in like, you know, 30 pounds of just of energy and excitement and passion. And she points her finger and demands I do what she says. And I look at her and say, I can take you. Yeah. If I did that for her, you ready? It would not be loving. I would make her miserable. I would cause her to live a horrible life. Are you ready? God's not going to do that to you either. God loves you and cares about you more than you know. God could not be more on your side, but he's not going to live life according to your whims and wishes. He is the one in charge, and you and I need to know that. You ready? We don't demand anything from God. We don't command anything from God. We listen to what he tells us. And that's because you're his child and he's your father and he wants the best for you. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to do whatever I tell you to do and be what I want you to be. And Jesus lists that out. He even asked this incredibly great question, deep question. Get ready. Luke 6:46. He says these words, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Or do not do what I say. Now, that's the whole point. Why would you do this and not do what I say? If you're going to be mine, you got to do whatever I say. And then in Luke chapter 9, Jesus actually begins to show us what discipleship's like. He says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be an imitator of me, a follower of me, he must deny himself. It starts with self-denial. You ready? And take up his cross daily and follow me. It says, I have to deny self. I have to die to self. That's what take up the cross daily means. And then I have to follow him. I have to do what he says to do. See, that's what God is telling you is the best life you could ever live. And he warns us about something. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And then he goes, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? And another way to say that's in Matthew. It says, loses or forfeits his soul. Here's the thing. Deep down inside, God made you to be you. And when you live life feeding selfishness, you are forfeiting you. You're not being the best you. And God wants you to be the best you he made you to be. And the only way you and I are going to do that is when we live life according to what he says. So whenever he tells us to do something, we do it. And Jesus said that is an all or nothing proposition. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And so later on in Luke chapter 9, he interacts with some people. And it says, and as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Those are great words. But Jesus knew this person didn't mean it. So he calls them to accountability. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said, I want you to know, you're saying you'll do this, but I know you. I know you're saying you'll do it, but when the going gets tough, you'll quit. When I ask you to do something hard, you'll say no. And he said, that can't be how it is. You've got to make the choice to follow me completely. And then it says, and Jesus said to another man, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus was saying to this person is this. If you're really going to be mine, if you're really going to follow me, I've got to be first in your life. And you got to do whatever I tell you to do, even something this hard. You got to be willing to do it. And another also said to him, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those who are at my home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He's talking in agricultural terms. If you were going to plow a field, the only way to do that effectively, put your hand on it and keep your eyes straight ahead and make sure you don't look to the right or left. Oh, you'll mess up. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to focus on what I'm telling you. Focus what I'm calling you to do. Do those things without reservation. And when you do, you'll live a life right down the straight and narrow path that'll cause you to have happiness, that'll cause you to be the best you. And while you ought to love your mom and dad, you got to put me first. While you ought to love your family, you got to put me first. And if you don't do what I tell you to do first, you don't obey me completely, you're never going to live the life you're meant to live. That is the aspect of what it means to be a disciple. So I want to have you think about it. Are you and I that kind of a person? Are we those kind of followers? See, right now, if you're brand new, Jesus is saying, follow me completely. What does that mean? Do everything he tells you to do. So if he says, love your enemy, what do? Love your enemy. If he says, forgive anybody who hurt you, what do? Forgive. Let me stop on that one. How many of you are here right now and there's pain in your heart and life because you won't choose to forgive? Do you ever notice that God is asking you to do something that's for you, that'll benefit you? So if you go, okay, Lord, you said to forgive, I'll forgive. No matter how big, I'll forgive. That will free you. If Jesus says, pray at all times, Luke 18, verse 1, he said, pray at all times. Talk to me about everything all the time. Then you ought to do that. Matthew 23, 23, Jesus says this. He says, tithe. Give the first 10% of your income to me. And if you go, but that's hard. Jesus said, but do it and trust me and see what's going to happen. And he will. In Matthew 28, he told all of us to go into all the world and make disciples. So everywhere we go, let's call people into a relationship with the Lord. And then it says baptizing them. Let me camp out on that one. Baptism, which you just saw people get baptized today. Baptism is done by people who are committing their lives to God, knowing what they're doing. When you go under the water, you're saying, I'm dying to all my old ways, all my old self. And when I come up out of the water, I'm going to be brand new. Let me just be as clear as I can. A baby can't do that. You know, when you're a baby and they sprinkled you, you didn't go, I do repent. Mom, I got you up at 2 a.m. I am so sorry. No. And by the way, I know the parents might have meant well, but baptism is this all or nothing worship experience where you're committing to be completely God's. And so when Jesus says, do that knowing what you're doing. Do that for me, doing it, committing to me. Right now, the question would be, are there some of you here who've said, no, I'm not going to do that? And you might have said this, I don't see what good it would do. I don't see why I should. And here's the answer, because Jesus told you to. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then when you do, you'll know. See, you just go, okay, that's what the Lord said, so I'm going to do it. That's what you need to do if you're going to fulfill the first aspect, the first leg of the three-leg stool of being a disciple. What's the second one? The second one is this. It's called likeness. If you write on that in your notes, L is likeness. So it's lordship and likeness. And it's I act and react the way Jesus would in every situation. If I'm going to be like him, I have to act and I have to react the way Jesus would in every situation. I'm going to ask, what would he do? What would he say? How would he live? I need to do that. And in Matthew 10:25, Jesus says that's the second aspect of discipleship. And then he says this, it is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher. See the word like. And the slave like his master. That we become like Jesus. But notice these words, it is enough. You ready for this? It's nothing else will matter in life if you get this right. Nothing could make more of a difference. Nothing could give you more joy. Nothing will give you more peace. Nothing will give you more happiness than you doing what Jesus wants you to do and being who he wants you to be by being like him. And you know what? He said, you're right. You know what? If you had a bigger house, that won't make as big a difference in your life. If you had a nicer car, that won't make a bigger difference in your life. If you had more money, that's not going to make a big difference in your life. If you had another wife or another husband, guess what? That won't change anything. What's going to change everything is you saying, I realized nothing matters more than me being like him. And then my life's going to have that joy, happiness, peace, sense of fulfillment, everything. So I want to do what he would do in every situation, in every moment, facing every challenge, in every relationship, in every interaction, and the goals I set for my life. And that's what happens according to Peter in 1 Peter 2:21. This is one of my life verses. And it says, for you and I have been called for this purpose. Notice this is your purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. That you and I would follow in his steps. That you and I would act how he would act. That you and I would always ask that question, what would Jesus do? Charles Sheldon is an author, but he actually is a pastor. He's now in heaven. And years and years ago, Charles Sheldon was captivated by 1 Peter 2:21. The whole idea of walking in his steps, walking in his steps. And then he wrote a book. And the book is called In His Steps. Are you ready for this? The book is one of the best-selling books of all time. It has sold more copies than a book called Gone with the Wind. Did you know that? Way more than Gone with the Wind. And it made a huge impact on anyone who's ever read it. And what it's about a group of people who made a commitment, I will do whatever Jesus says to do, and I will act the way Jesus would act. And you start to see what happens in their lives when they begin to do it. I think it's interesting that when he wrote the book, he told his church, he said, come on Sunday night, and I'm just going to read a chapter a week. And that church packed out and grew. And here's why. Because people love hearing what it means to follow Jesus. There's no better life you could live than that. And so you and I need to understand that that's what God's called you to do. So the question is, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And when you and I live that way, I want to tell you something. It not only makes an impact, it can be big news. And that happened in Vancouver. In Vancouver, there's a coffee shop, and there's three young guys who work there who are Christians, and they do what Jesus would do. Watch this.
A picture taken at a Vancouver coffee stand is going viral as it shows workers comforting and praying with a woman who just lost her husband. Fox 12's Jamie Wilson joins us live from Vancouver after speaking with the young men who were in that photo. Jamie?
That's right. Someone took the picture yesterday at this Dutch Bros on 138th Avenue in Vancouver. And just like they are now, they were very busy at the time. The baristas were trying to get everyone served fast. But the moment that they noticed that a woman in line was very distraught, they stopped everything to take care of her.
Strawberry raspberry rebel.
Medium iced vanilla mocha?
Yeah.
When Pierce Dunn and Evan Freeman got hired at Dutch Bros, they learned how to make coffee, mochas, smoothies, and a half decaf no whip caramelizer with soy milk.
Vanilla mocha!
But they were also taught to connect with customers. And yesterday, that connection turned into some much needed comfort. Their coworker noticed that a woman pulling up to the window was in tears.
And she was like, no, she's just having a really bad day. Her husband passed. And as soon as she said that, I was like, there's nothing more you need to say. We got this. We're going to do what we do every time we get someone who's in pain or hurt. We're going to give them our love.
The guys offered her a free drink, and then it just kind of happened. They all grabbed her hand, bowed their heads, and together they said a prayer.
So basically, I just said, like, you know, I really want her to, you know, have peace over the situation, you know, like help the mourning of her and her family.
They had no idea, but a customer in the next car back snapped this picture. She posted it on Facebook, and along with thousands of likes, it even surprised owner Jessica Chudik.
I just said, oh, that's great. You know, I love that our company does that and that, you know, we can show love out the window that way. And then I started studying a little more and I said, wait, that's Evan and Pierce. That's my stand. Those are my kids. So I was just, brought me to tears right then.
When I saw the picture, for me, it was just like, oh, this is a normal day at work. Like, we're doing what we do every day.
Evan and Pierce say the woman was so grateful to them for taking her hand and taking the time. They had no intention of this moment going viral, but say maybe it will inspire someone else.
If every single person was just did like an act of kindness or just had a smile on their face every single day, like the world would be a completely different place.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. I love that story. A couple thoughts that come out of it I want you to grab hold of. Number one, one of the guys said, we were just doing what we do every single day. Doesn't that sound like what Christians do every single day? The second thing is the world would be a different place if we all did that. And I know don't we all know that's true? If every one of us walks out those doors saying, we're in this together. And we're going to follow Jesus together. And we're going to love the way he loves and speaks the way he speaks. You know what would happen? This world would be a different place. We could see the church be the hope of the world. By the way, that's why we're going to have that Operation Christmas Child event in November. Where, you know what? Rather than separately all of us buying our boxes and blessing children, we do it together and make an impact in this community and shine as those lights. We're going to do a kindness campaign focused in a season where we all do that together and we shine as lights. But then if we just all committed every day to that's who we are and what we did, we'd make a difference. And Jesus would be lifted up. And in John 12, what happens when Jesus is lifted up? Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. I'm going to draw all men to myself. So we need to know that's true. And so you and I need to be a part of that. So the second thing is we need to act and react the way Jesus would. So it's lordship and then it's likeness. And then the third aspect, that third leg of the stool is love. Love. Jesus said that he wants us to be people who fervently love the way Jesus does. So if I'm going to imitate him, I will fervently love the way Jesus does. And Jesus talks about that in John chapter 13, where he says these words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, grab hold of that. We actually will be a living testimony of the truth of Jesus. All will know that we're his when we do that. Here's what I don't want you to miss. Are you ready? The vast majority of people you meet and know will never open a Bible. The only Bible they'll ever see is you, because you live it, because you love, because you care. And when you do that, everyone's going to know about Jesus. And that's what we want to do. And so they'll all see what Jesus is like in that very, very moment. And so Jesus said, I want you to do that with everyone. But catch this, we need to do it within the church. It starts here. It starts in our own home. And in 1 John chapter 4, it says, if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Man, we shouldn't hate anybody, but especially in the church. We need to love everybody. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So you know what? It starts here. And if we're going to prepare for revival, it starts loving each other, genuinely loving each other. And then we can take that love out to a world that needs it. And we need to be that kind of a person. And we need to live that kind of life. But it just can't be love. It's got to be fervent love. So in 1 Peter, Peter says this. Peter says, the end of all things is near, and I believe that. Therefore, be a sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. But notice this, above all, more important than that, above all, be fervent, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Above all, more than whether you support Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Love each other. Would you agree that's a good idea? Yeah, yeah. You ready for this? Above race, love each other. Above a gender, love each other. Above financial resources, love each other. Above any of those things, love each other. Just love each other. And he said, I just love, have fervent love for one another. That means, by the way, if I come up short on an expectation you have for me, above all, still love me. And I should do the same for you. And you should do the same for your family. And you should do the same for your coworkers. And the same for your neighbor. And the same, above all, have fervent love for one another. And we need to be that way. And we need to have that kind of love. And when we do, we'll be 24/7 imitators of Christ. Pam and I, I'll be sharing about it in the next step at 1 o'clock afterwards. So if you haven't heard this, I'll unveil more details of our testimony. But we weren't married yet. We were young. We had made a mess of our lives. Pam got to the place where she was dead inside. And she was hurting and I was hurting. And I want to say, I saw the life just gone from her. But we wanted anything that would help, and so we ended up going to Crossroads Christian Church, which happened to be on Rancho in Maine back then. I'll never forget pulling onto the property. I'll never forget the exact place we parked. And I was thinking about this last night. When we got out of the car, I actually was afraid. You know why? I felt like as we walked into church, everybody could see all the sin. I filled with shame. I just felt like it just shined out of us. Maybe it clouded us. And we're walking up to the church, and Tim Cooper was the pastor. He looks at us and goes, Chuck and Pam, and he yells it out real loud. He walks over and grabbed and hugged us, and we needed that hug. Man, it felt good. And then he said, what's going on in your life? And I looked up at him, and I said, Tim, we're engaged, and we're going to get married. Would you do our wedding? And I'll never forget his reaction, because it's more what he didn't say. He didn't look and say, what are you talking about? You're way too young. He didn't look at me and say, you're too immature. He didn't attack me at all. What he said was, he said, hey, you guys are in love. Let's talk about it. And he got us in his office, and he began to love on us and care for us. Now, eventually, he did redirect and show that I was too mature and, oh, you know, too immature and all those things. But what he did more is he just began to say, hey, I want to know what's going on in your life. So we told him. We told him what we had done. And he teared up. He had such compassion. And he said, wow, you guys. Man, I know you're hurting. And I want you to know God couldn't care about you more than he does right now. God couldn't love you more than he does right now. And he hurts for you too. He didn't say, how could you? He didn't say, you're so wrong. He didn't say, what evil. He just looked and said, do you realize how much God loves you? And he began to share with us a love from God that was so real. I was a backslidden Christian. The next Sunday, I went forward and gave my life to Christ and just recommitted myself completely. I'll never forget. I prayed that prayer, and I got up, and I made that walk, and Pam didn't know I was going to do it. The next week, Pam, she's crying, and she prays the prayer to give her life to Christ. And when that invitation is given, she made the walk. And then what happened is she went right into the waters of baptism. She couldn't wait. And so I'll never forget, this really is true. The woman who went under that water and came up were different. She went under dead, she came up alive. She went under hurting, she came up healed. She had joy in her heart. She smiled like I hadn't seen her smile in a long time. That it just lifted from her. See, I want to tell you right now, if you're here and you've made a mess of your life, you've come to the right place. Because you're in a room of people who will not pretend we haven't done the same thing. The other thing you need to know is when you've made a mess, do you know what you need? You need a Messiah, M-E-S-S-I-A, who just wants to clean up the mess, right? And right now, what I want you to know is that God loves you, God cares about you, and God has a destiny for your life. And if you're here today and you're not in a relationship with Jesus that's real, he wants it with you and for you. Jesus even said these words, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He means I'm standing there looking at you and I'm saying, can I be with you? Can I come in? And he said, if you just listen to my voice, if you would open up to me, I would come be with you. That's what Jesus is saying. And right now there's some of you, he really wants that for you. He knows you by name. He knew you'd be here. He knows the worst things you've ever done in your life, but he couldn't love you more. And right now he wants this with you and he wants it for you. But you've got to say, I want it. You got to say, come in. You got to say, I'll commit. I'll commit. Because when you do, you'll start to be the you you're supposed to be. Some of you are Christians and you need to recommit like I did. How do you do it? You say the prayer, I commit. I commit. I want to be with you. And we always have to do that in a second step. And the second step is we have to actually make it known we've made the commitment. So in a moment, I'm going to lead a prayer where you can commit to the Lord. You could do it alone. You could do it with other people. You could do it as a couple. You could do it all together. But you need to do it. And you just pray a prayer, and I'll lead you in that prayer. And you say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. Then the next step is I'm going to ask everybody here to stand and sing. And if you pray the prayer, I'm going to ask everybody who prays that prayer and mean it to make their way to an aisle or to the stairs. People would love to let you out. Walk down one of the aisles and let us greet you. That's what Pam and I did. We made that walk. And I'll tell you, I know this because we did it. When you step out and make that walk, I know it's scary. I know you might even wonder why, but as you do it, you're doing what Jesus would want you to do. And what happens is you connect to him in a more profound way. But you won't have it if you don't make that walk. You got to make it known. And then we're going to ask you to head that room we call the living room. And in there, we won't keep you long. We want to share some things with you that will help you grow closer to God. Right now, there's some of you need to do that. And God knows you and loves you. Here's my question. How would you like today to actually make the best commitment in your life you could ever make and have Jesus' love be real? If so, pray this prayer to either commit or recommit. Let's pray. Father, I do pray right now for anybody here who needs to say yes to you. God, I pray this is the moment they're finally going to do it. They're going to make that commitment. Some to come back. Some for the first time. Lord, there's some couples here who need to do this together. God, I pray they're going to do it. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd help them. All the Crossroads family, pray for people to do this, to say yes to Jesus. Right now, I'm going to give you a chance to say yes by praying a prayer with me. If you're ready to have his love, if you're ready to live the best life you could ever live, if you're ready to have healing come, you're ready to have him make you free, if you're ready, you're ready to really know God, pray this prayer with me. Say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me, and I know you died on the cross to cleanse me and to forgive me from all my sin. To heal me, say those words, to heal me from hurt and from pain. To free me from anything that would hold me back or hold me down. Then say, I know You want me to be yours, and you want me to be alive, and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Yes, I want you, and yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please fill me with your love and fill me with your spirit and make me yours completely. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you prayed that prayer.